Good evening. Is this on? Glad all of you braved the cold weather. I want to talk tonight about time. Of course, when we talk about time, some of you might be looking at your watch and say, I wonder how much time he's going to use. There's a song I can remember. I didn't even like this song. Back years ago, it was called Time is on Our Side. Yes, it is. No, it's not. It is not on our side. This eternity lasts forever and isn't bound by time. But our time here is very short, and we need to use it profitably. It is very short. The word time in the New Testament is the word kairos. It's defined as a particular period of time, and most of the time it's called the time. It's talking about us personally, the time that we have. That's the time for us. And it's very short. I'd like to just first read a couple verses. I'm not going to ask you to turn to them because we probably won't have time. And then eventually we'll be going to Romans 13 and 1 Peter. In Luke 9, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus. It said, Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that he steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem. Steadfastly. Oh, it's time. It's time to do something. Now it's time to steadfastly do it. And he's our example. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me just read the verse before I was going to read it. It says, Awake, you who sleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. Don't you like that word, circumspectly? That means all around, carefully looking. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. What does that mean? Colossians 4 says, Walk in wisdom toward those that are outside. Redeeming the time. There it is again. Right after that, it says, That you may know how you ought to answer each one. Walk to them that are outside, redeeming the time so you know how to answer them. That word redeeming the time, the word redeeming is the word ex agorazo. The word for the Greek marketplace is agora, and the ex means just out of. So what you're doing is you're buying out of the marketplace. I looked in a lot of concordances, and they just kind of wishy-washed their way through it, and they didn't want to make any firm stand because then you'd have to really apply God's word. But anyway, you have to buy out from the marketplace. You have to buy out from the world and take that time that you would normally spend with the world, and you have to redeem it. You have to buy it back and use it for God's purposes. Why do you have to buy it? Well, because it costs. What does it cost? 2 Timothy says, All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It costs. You will suffer persecution, and we'll find that out more. In ourselves, we're very selfish. We think about ourselves. Our sinful flesh resists every day, doesn't it? We know what we should do, like Paul says, what I want to do, I don't do. What I do, I don't want. What I do want to do, I don't do it. What in the world's wrong? Well, one of the things is, for me, I'm not redeeming the time. I'd just like to get a brief perspective on, well, I'll just read Ephesians chapter 4. There's two different ways we can look at this as redeeming the time. First, me individually. And I've been struggling mightily with that for a couple months. And you'll find out a little bit more my successes and not very shortly. But also as the body of Christ. Because we are all in this together. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'll start in the middle of verse 12. For the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of Christ. Can you imagine that? That's what God wants for us. I mean, I've read that so many times and it never hit me that hard. We're all in this together. We all need to redeem the time. Every moment of it. Pull it out of the world. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, the measure and the stature of Christ. That should be our desire for each other. We should use our gifts to the maximum that the Lord gives us to come to that end. Without the Holy Spirit, without each other, there's no way we're ever going to make it. Not even close. Even then, I know in this sinful flesh we'll never completely make it. But that's our goal. That's our goal. You know, when the Lord Jesus saved us, He didn't save part of me. He didn't save most of me. He bought me. He saved me completely. Every bit. Lock, stock, and barrel. I'm His. That word all, until we all come. You know, we're supposed to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. All. Not most, not part, not some of the time. All the time. And my flesh resists that. Oh, it does. It does. Let's look now at, first let's talk about what we are as saints. I wonder where that is. God says, be holy, for I am holy. That word holy is the word we get the word saint from. It's one that's separated to God's purpose, one that's holy. And that is our purpose, consecrated completely to God, completely to God. Okay, Romans 13. You can turn to this one. And in 1 Peter, I hope you all will. Verse 11, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. Now, why do you think Paul would say that? Because they were sleeping. They were going through the motions. That's what he's telling the Romans. Wake up out of sleep. It's high time. That word high time is translated several different ways. It's the instant, the hour, in other words, now. This moment. It is high time, knowing the time. Do you know what time it is? It's time to wake up out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore cast off the works of darkness. Is the night further along than it was back then? Is the day closer to being at hand than it was back then? Oh, yes. Do we see the time approaching? Oh, yes. I heard several things at the Career Academy today that really make me believe that it's coming very quickly. Oh, it's so sad. It's so sad. But then it's time. It's high time to wake up. You know, if we really believe the Lord can do just like he did in Jerusalem and the saints there turn the world upside down, if we really all redeem the time, we really work together as the body of Christ, it would be an exciting time to see how the Lord works. All the miracles he does, just bringing someone to the Lord, do you realize how miraculous that is? What a miracle. Instead, we have this other problem. How many of you know of a son that received his inheritance from his father and went to a far country? Anybody know what that was? The prodigal son? What does prodigal mean? Does anybody know? It means wasteful. Actually, when we look at the prodigal son, we don't necessarily think of that, but that's what it means. And he got called that a long time ago. I didn't call him that. But that's one of our problems, is we take that inheritance that the Father has given us. If we don't redeem that time, we're wasting it. And let me tell you, I found out I waste more time than I thought I did. I thought, well, man, since I've retired, I've gotten even extra busy. But a lot of that time is not redeemed to the Lord's purposes. It's not. Just one more verse in Romans 14. Verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh. You know, my flesh rebels against that. I got to leave a little bit of provision for my flesh. Everything can't be for the Lord, like the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord uses these words like no, none, zero, none. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm getting close to the verse that started all this. I'm going to read just a little of verse 13 and then I'm going down to 17. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober and rest with your hope fully upon the graces to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up your mind. Get ready to run. Get ready to work. Get ready to fight. Why? Well, the Lord says, be holy for I am holy. Now, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, do you? If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's works, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. We don't like to think of it that way, do we? Since I started this, I found out there's a lot about fear in the New Testament. A lot more than I want to admit. Now, God is a God of grace. He's a God that we can come to in time of need. But he is an awesome God. He's a God to be feared. Why? Stop and think about it. Should I be afraid to disappoint him? To disobey him? To grieve his spirit? To dishonor him? I'm his soldier. I'm his ambassador. I'm his child. I'm his representative on this earth. I don't want to disobey him. How we dare not obey. Let's continue reading. Conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. That's what I received by tradition from my father. Some aimless conduct. It's not set apart, redeemed toward the Lord. No, it's not. But with the precious blood of Christ. I don't want to displease him. No. What a challenge. From the last set of verses in 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, verse 1, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men. No longer live the rest of his time. I've read that many times before, and all of a sudden, what am I doing with the rest of my time? Am I using it, as that verse says after that, but for the will of God? Is it all for him? Why? For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. The word Gentiles is the word ethnos. It really means the culture, the world culture. We've done enough. Spent enough of our time, of our past lifetime, doing the culture of the world. And it's deeply embedded within the churches of God. We've spent enough time. What do I want to be doing the rest of my life? What little of it's left? I'd like to go back just, to verse 13 of chapter 4. This is looking forward to the result of living a godly life. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Do we have to worry about the cost of redeeming the time? Oh, it's going to cost. But it's blessing. It's exceeding joy in the future. Verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. It's time. It's getting dark. It has to begin here. And stop and consider, what's one of the biggest excuses that non-Christians use for not coming to Christ? Christians. They live just like everybody else. They're hypocrites. Isn't that true? Don't a lot of people look at Christians like that? Oh, you put on a nice face sometimes. You're just like all of us. Got to be very different. That's what God wants us to be. Revelation 22 says, the time is at hand. Two verses later it says, behold, I come quickly. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. It applies much more now, since it's getting so much darker. And you know, even if the Lord does provide a great revival, he won't do it unless the body of Christ redeems the time individually and collectively. Is this still on? Yeah. Individually and collectively. You know, I was thinking we have something coming up called March Madness. Anybody ever heard of March Madness, the NCAA tournament? Any kind of entertainment, but one of the things I heard is that productivity in businesses takes a huge dive whenever March Madness comes around. Even the world recognizes this as entertainment isn't good for the world. But yet we just love it, evidently. Games, movies, all the information that you get. You can watch news all day long and talk radio, and you can use cell phones and computers and find out all kinds of information. All this entertainment, all this information, all the things that satisfy us, food, things, security, 401ks, whatever it might be, all those things are distractions. They're a waste of time. They are for me. They take away from God's purposes. They're things that non-believers do. That's their culture. Even our schooling and our jobs, even being here in a meeting, you still have to take that time and redeem it to the Lord. You know how easy it is for our minds to wander? Pretty easy. We've got to redeem the time. Being sold out for the Lord is pretty costly. Your flesh doesn't like it. One of the things I found out is not enough to identify something wasteful, say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I have to replace it. I have to redeem that time. And I have to use it for God. And that's where my struggle is. Because I find out the more I go along, the more wasted time I notice. And I have to use more time for God. I don't know where this is going to lead. But let me tell you, you can't just identify the waste and stop it. You've got to replace it. Are we willing to replace, to pay the price? Are we willing? You know, the rewards are out of this world. Another way of putting it is the rewards are heavenly. Exceeding joy. And a master that says, well done, good and faithful servant. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you, but not near enough. We serve you, but not like we should. Teach us as an assembly and as individuals to take every moment, make it precious to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.